hour number two on the show. And again, we're taking you right up to baseball tonight on WBAL, Game 5 of the World Series. We are at the Green Turtle, Mount Airy. Brett Q and Greg Sullen, our producer engineer on site, Jay Cottrell back on TV Hill. And a special guest joins us now, one of our favorites, Baltimore Sun writer, reporter, Ravens beat writer, Jeff Zerebeck. Jay-Z, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing very well, Jeff. And you wrote a great piece in yesterday's Baltimore Sun, really an epic, lengthy feature story on young Torrey Smith. And I think we forget that he's only 24 years of age because he's kind of been a part of our consciousness here in the sense of being a key contributor on two really good Ravens teams, one that, of course, won the Super Bowl. And people kind of knew who he was because he was a star at Maryland. And I remember a couple of drafts ago, that was somewhat the hope. The Ravens needed speed. They needed a wide receiver. And they went and got this targeted guy, clearly, from the local university. It's kind of a really interesting tale there.
Yeah, and especially just how it all went down, you know. When he was watching the draft, now there were some teams that expressed a lot of interest in Torrey Smith. You know, New England Patriots were one of them. There's a lot of talk that, you know, New England Patriots were on him hard and he could wind up there. But you know, while he was watching it, his mother had a Ravens T-shirt on her lap throughout the whole draft. You know, this was the hope.
Wow.
You know, he wanted to be here. He has a serious girlfriend at the time. They're now married. She's from Philadelphia. He's from Virginia. What better place than playing in Baltimore? I mean, he knew of Ozzy. He knew of a couple guys on the team. He just thought it was the ideal fit. And it worked out for him. But you know what? Now that it did, you got to give a lot of credit to the kid for kind of making the transition, putting himself out there in the community, working his butt off to get better at his craft. Brett, I started this beat in his rookie year. And it was like week two was my first week when I moved over from the Orioles to cover the Ravens, and Jamison left for ESPN. And all I kept hearing about was this guy is a bust. He didn't do anything all preseason. He didn't do anything the first couple of games. And then I think the second game I ever covered, he had the three touchdowns against the Rams. And I was kind of thinking, what are people talking about? He looks pretty good to me. So it is amazing how quickly he's developed into one of the better young receivers in the NFL on the field and to one of the faces of the franchise and one of the most popular athletes in Baltimore off of it.
Z, this is Q. When you look at, you know, Torrey's game, when did you see him as far as the game slowing down for him? You referenced the Rams game and, you know, doing that telecast, I know, or I should say that radio broadcast, I know that, you know, there was a lot of attention on Anquan Boldin and whether or not, you know, if you take him out of the game, who's going to step up? And, you know, you had Lee Evans, who was injured. So this was Torrey's time to shine. He did it in a phenomenal way. But when did you see him really truly slow the game down? It's really kind of, I got it.
Yeah, you know what? The one game where I remember saying to myself, you know, this guy's going to be trouble. This guy's going to be tough to deal with for teams was really the AFC Championship game against the Patriots. Now, I know he caught a touchdown in that game. It was kind of a simple route, and then he sprinted to the corner. He just was a threat all over the field. Now, he had some big games his rookie year. Obviously, no one's going to forget that Rams game. But in terms of magnitude and how he went about it and just how he improved, the one thing where I started, where I saw him and I was like, you know, this guy's for real. This guy is going to be really good, was that New England Patriots AFC Championship game, which, of course, was remembered for all sorts of reasons, not necessarily the Torrey Smith coming out party. But I thought that game, you could just tell. You could tell how much respect the Patriots were paying him and the kind of just how he was and his comfort level in a big game like that. That showed me a real lot. And, you know, it wasn't just the media. Yeah, the media overreacts and was saying, oh, everyone's so quick to jump to conclusions. This kid's going to be a bust. You know, look at Jimmy Smith. That was written so many times. Now he's probably been their best defensive back this year. But with Torrey, everyone was saying that really early, and I think everybody was sort of judging him. But, you know, even wide receiver coach Jim Hostler said, you know, there were some practices early going where we're like, ooh, this guy's struggling. This is really coming slow for him. So, you know, by the end of the season, Q, I really thought he would have really improved leaps and bounds and was ready to make the next jump into a second year.
And the story, Jeff, is really about the guy off the field as much as it is about the person on it, because they go hand in hand. Of course, there are much more famous wide receivers than Torrey Smith in the NFL and more famous athletes in America who have a lot less Twitter followers. And I'm not saying that's the ultimate measure of someone's fame and popularity, but it does say something about Torrey Smith, and maybe he was the perfect guy at the perfect age, came up through college where Twitter kind of blew up when he was in college, but there is something about his personality, and I think to me, Jeff, what separates him, there's no false hustle with Torrey Smith. There's nothing phony about him. I think a lot of athletes try very hard, and I'm not criticizing those who, you know, not necessarily involved the right word, but guys who want to be out there and have opinions. Torrey does it, and he does it without saying stuff that is stupid, that could hurt him, his brand, or the franchise, or the community.
Yeah, there's a reason when, you know, the Ravens PR staff got together to kind of consult the class about social media and all that to the rookies. There's a reason Torrey Smith got up front and talked about it. You know, I mean, Torrey Smith, he uses Twitter in the correct way. I mean, like the other night, him and his wife were going out to see some haunted houses in Maryland, and he offered a couple Raven fans the opportunity to go with them. He doesn't, you know, as a couple of people said in the article, it's not about self-promoting Torrey Smith. He just likes to meet people. He likes to get to know people. He likes to do things for other people. And that's the way he uses Twitter. I mean, he makes his opinions on social issues, but a lot of the issues he feels are important to talk about, and he wants to learn about it and give his opinion. So, you know, ideally, I think everyone, we all, in some sense, without mentioning any names, it kind of Twitter with the self-promotion and the constant beating on the chest and certain things, it gets a little nauseating sometimes. But if you're looking for someone who uses it in the right way to meet people, extend it, you know, work on his brand, and also to kind of reach out to the Ravens fan base and promote the city and franchise, I don't think anyone does it better than Torrey Smith.
When you look at, Z, all the flow of the season, certainly in front is the Ravens offense and its slow start. With that, they've made some trades. They've certainly traded away Brian McKinney and brought in Eugene Monroe. But with this trade deadline looming, and John Harbaugh kind of briefly talked about it today, do you see them going after, say, a Hakeem Nicks or Larry Fitzgerald or someone to continue to surround Joe Flacco, the strong-arm franchise guy, with other receivers that are high-quality talent?
Yeah, you know, I'd be a little surprised. I think the Ravens are going to be out there. I think, like every good organization does, I think they'll be pretty active on the phones and seeing what's available. But it's easy to forget, because they've made two trades this year, that they've never made a pre-deadline deal in the past in franchise history. So traditionally, they don't do a whole lot here. And I think more signs indicate to them not doing anything tomorrow than exist on the other end. Because, I mean, they don't like trading draft picks. We all know that. They've already traded three, two for Monroe and one for A.Q. Shipley before the season. You know, they got one back with McKinney, obviously, and they'll have some, you know, picks awarded from compensatory picks. So, but still, they don't like trading more picks. And I just really don't see them sacrificing a first or second day draft pick for another rental player, a player that's a free agent anyway. That's just not their way of doing things. They don't press the panic button, and they usually don't look for the quick fix like that. And the other thing is, they only have about $1.5 million of salary cap space after the Bernard Scott deal. So it just, there's not a whole lot of leverage and flexibility they have, both in terms of picks and salary cap space, to get a deal done. But, you know, if there's something out there that makes enough sense, you never sleep on Ozzie Newsome. You know, when you least expect it, they usually come through and get something done.
Great insight from Jeff Zrebeck, Ravens beat writer for The Sun. Again, if you've not read his piece on Torrey Smith that was out in yesterday's Sun, I highly, highly recommend it. Jeff, great stuff. Thank you.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Z.
That's Jeff Zrebeck. We'll come back to the Green Turtle Mount Airy in a moment here on WBAL.